One hot afternoon in senior English class, Mr. Harris caught me sneaking a snooze. Mike, wake up! Take notes on what I'm telling you. He had been informing us of a test that was coming. I had written down what was going to be on the first part of the test, but I had slept through the second part. When Pastor Mike asked me to speak this morning, we thought it would be helpful to prepare you for a test that is coming. It's a test that Jesus is going to give to those who have received him. It's a heat test, and Jesus wants us to be prepared. Thank you for letting me speak this morning. I couldn't wait to get to church. Everywhere Sherry and I go, we tell people we are part of the best church in Hanover County. We have the best pastor in the county. We even have the best administrator in the county. I love all y'all. I appreciate that you answer my questions. Let's see if you're ready this morning. Are you going to sleep while I'm talking?
No.
Natalie, they sounded a little Presbyterian. Let's try again. I visited a church recently. The people there were so quiet, I almost put myself to sleep. Are you looking forward to lunch? All right, now we can roll. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brother Denny already read this, but Mr. Harris used to tell us it helps to read things multiple times. Said it would sink into our thick heads. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. This is the Apostle Paul. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Pay attention here. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Turn to your neighbor and say, test is coming. Look at verse 14. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved. Repeat. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The first 10 times I read that, I kept asking myself, what in the world does all that mean? I was reading and praying over the passage again this morning. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was telling me, Mike, are you willing to prepare? I want to ask all of you, are you willing to prepare?
Yes.
Let's take a look at who this test is for. To know who the test is for, we look to see who Paul is writing to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. It says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill Carter, do y'all call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here? Yes. Let's get some further clarity. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Cooper, do good works do anything for our salvation? Correct. We're saved by grace through faith. That brings us into the kingdom. Too many folks in the kingdom wandering around, wondering what to do next. Look at verse 10, the next verse. That says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works come after our spiritual birth. This test in 1 Corinthians is what we've done after we receive Christ. Everybody say, after.
After.
Now that we're straight on that, and we know that this test only applies to Christians, not the unsaved, they don't even get to enter the testing room. I grew up on a farm way out in the country. Once a year, this great white truck would arrive. We never knew what time he was going to appear. You better be ready. We were having judgment day on the farm. Books were opened, interaction between the father and the son. The sorting was completed. The unconverted were loaded on the white truck and sent away. Condemned to death at McDonald's. Now, this test in 1 Corinthians is not one that will result in condemnation because it's for Christians. I don't think sin or punishment will be so much the case as missed opportunity. For believers, the sin has been forgiven. Amen? Now that we're totally clear that 1 Corinthians 3 is for Christians, let's go back to that chapter. Look at verse 10 and 11 again. You see, Paul is saying, he laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul and his team started the church in Corinth. It's now a few years later, and he heard some bad things that were going on there. Let's look at why he's writing to them. Glance at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. They were not working together and had self-caused problems they were bringing down on themselves. The outside distractions were so consuming to the point they had stopped their spiritual building. Sounds like some of us bringing problems down on ourselves. Back to chapter 3, look at verse 12 and 13. He's saying the work done on the foundation will be evaluated based on the outcome of what is built. This will be an outcome-based test, not an effort-based test. I would sometimes put forth a lot of effort in Mr. Harris's class studying for a test, and I'd still end up with a C. Now, the only person I had helping me was my buddy Jim. He didn't know any more than I did. His nickname was Brick. I'm just going to leave it at that. Let's get more specific about building. To build something that will last, you need two things: quality materials and competent help. Quality materials and competent help. Hey, did anybody read verse 16 in 1 Corinthians 3? Verse 16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" Who's your helper? The Holy Spirit. That's right. You don't get my buddy Brick. You get the Holy Spirit. This is so much better than the English test. God is telling us what's going to be on it. He's provided a supernatural helper, and he provides the materials for the work. Look at verse 12. Those first three items are raw materials. They've not been converted into anything. They're also fireproof. If Jamie's house burns down, we can go over and help him collect his gold because it'll still be there. We have building materials that are high value, fireproof, and eternal. In this passage, we find Paul using what is called a metaphor. Lots of metaphors in the Bible. Jesus used metaphors. Paul used metaphors. Any English teachers in church? Yeah. Metaphors can be a little bit confusing because you didn't pay attention in English class. Bill Henderson told me he was a builder. Bill, do those buildings have a solid foundation? All right. He did not tell me he was a foundation builder. He's a home builder. You do walls? Okay. Over the years, I've heard a lot of people tell me how much they'd like to build a new home. Some of them actually do so, and they invite you over to see their new house. I've never had somebody, Selvin, I've never had somebody say, "Come over and look at my new foundation." No walls, just blocks. You know what I call the area inside my foundation? A crawl space. Too many Christians just crawling around. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He called them infants. Not very flattering. Dennis Woody says we must build on the foundation. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Bill, do you use quality materials that will last? Is there going to be someone that's going to inspect Bill's work? Sure, the building inspector. Folks, God is in the building and inspecting business. Jesus said in Matthew 16, he was going to build his church. Paul said he was a master builder. Perhaps there's a contradiction. No, because Jesus uses other people in our lives to build his church. God provides the materials. He provides the workers to build the building. The Holy Spirit's like the foreman. He raises up workers like our pastor, our teachers, Bill Carter, Denny, and even you. Brothers and sisters, there are only two things that will last forever, and those are your building materials: the Word of God and people. Those are the only two things God will take off this planet. Men, our big trucks aren't going to make it. Our toys aren't going to make it. Even my tractors aren't going to make it. They're all going to burn. Can the lady say amen? Stop thinking of good works just as doing something nice for someone. Greg Perrier teaches us the top four good works are the four walls you must build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Those four walls are, where are my note takers? Those four walls are the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. One more time. The four walls you must build on the foundation of Jesus Christ are the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. Oh, no. Did he say witnessing? I'm going to stop listening now. That's my weakest wall as well. He just wants me to go to Mexico. I don't want you to go to Mexico. I just want you to go to lunch with your friend. Sarah, can y'all hear me in the back? People and the Word of God together build those four walls on the foundation of Christ. Yes, you use the Bible to build your wall of the Word. Travis uses the Word like mortar in those other three walls. I'm not a master builder. Most of you aren't either. I live in Rockville. We have to keep things simple. I'm going to give you four simple examples of average people who are building. See which one you can relate to. Ken is a retired fella in our Wednesday Bible study. He has been building in the Word each day by reading for 7 minutes in the New Testament. Ken found that 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Bethany is a busy mother who just finished our course one class. She's been building in prayer each day. She found that Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your requests to God." Mark and John just finished our course 2 class. They've been meeting together outside of church, building fellowship. They found that Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." One more. Karen just finished our course 3 class. She's been building her witness to friends at work. Karen is applying Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of Hanover." If those 4 people can be building for eternity, then so can you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "So can you." Brian and Amy McKay tell me we need to be putting time into those 4 walls each week. Too many weeks we're putting time and energy into things that won't last. Come on, man. Our work, our money, our hobbies. We waste time on things with no eternal value.
That's too convicting.
Verse 13. "The day will bring it to light." For a long time, I was a little afraid of this test. I was a stagnant Christian. I wasn't building anything. I'm a natural backslider. You give me an inch, I'll take a mile. Maybe you know someone like that. Don't raise your hand. Someone's thinking, "You got a good talk going in there, buddy, but you're about 20 years too late." I understand. I've tinkered away many, many, many years, maybe more than you. But 5 years ago, the Holy Spirit showed me that I could start building again. As long as you know Jesus and you're breathing, you can start building. What were the 4 walls? Dana, write that down so we don't forget. So what happened in Corinth? In the time after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, there was improvement among many of them. Most of the Corinthians were back to building and preparing. He wrote them a second letter that was more encouraging. He still reminded them of this test. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. That says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Some of the Corinthians had become committed to building spiritually in the lives of others. That's what happened to me 5 years ago. I had to tell God I was committed to building. I want to ask all of you, are you committed to prepare?
Yes.
We're not just to become better Christians. Listen up, friends. We must be building in the lives of other people. That's the second part of the test. Building happens in tandem. Someone building in your life, you building in someone else's life. We're to help others build on their foundation with the word, prayer, fellowship, and learning to be a witness. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to scare you or just to motivate you. I'm trying to tell us to get our focus off the things that will burn. I'm trying to convince us that God will provide for eternal building. Kelly's thinking, okay, Brother Mike, how do I get started? Jesse will tell you that's your homework, and it's two parts. Number one, meet with God for 7 minutes every day. Prayer, reading the word. Number two, meet with another believer outside of church for fellowship and discuss how you can be an impact for the kingdom. Once again, meet with God every day for 7 minutes. Meet with your fellow builder once a week. That's your homework. Look, folks, this is not a knowledge test. If you want to score high, you focus on relationships. Your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with others. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's Word. You have someone to help you. I'm almost done, y'all. Some interesting fellows in English class. Brick, Carl, Bob, Jerry. Brick came in one day all excited. There's a test. Y'all didn't tell me there's going to be a test. Carl liked to cheat on the test. He thought nobody knew he had a little piece of paper stuck up his sleeve. Bob would just skip class on test day. Said it gave him more time to study. Jerry was a delightful, honest friend. Later, after I came to Christ, I shared the gospel with Jerry. Said he understood it, but he wasn't ready. He came to a 5-week Bible study we were having. Still no change. Had him read the book of John. Nothing. Jerry told me the honest truth. He had some habits he was pretty sure wouldn't sit well with Jesus. He didn't want to give them up. 30 years later, Jerry taps me on Facebook. I've got cancer. I'm ready for Jesus now. Jerry received Christ, was baptized, even joined the Baptist church. But he said, I've wasted 30 years and built nothing for the Lord. I'm going to be with my Savior soon. I'll be the one that smells like smoke. Then it occurred to him, I've got a son who's coming to visit my sick self twice a week. His son received Christ a few months before Jerry died. Folks, it's not too late to start building. I just want to ask all of you one last time. Are you ready to prepare?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.